Our scripture reading this morning, taken as Pastor mentioned, Psalm 3. We're going to be reading the entire Psalm, Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Let's bow in prayer. Father, once again this morning, we thank you for the privilege of hearing from your word. And once again, Father, I would pray that you would prepare each of our hearts for the message you have for us this morning. I pray that you'll remove all distractions, things that would keep your Holy Spirit from speaking to us, as, Father, as your word goes forth. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now look again with me, if you would, verse 3 of this text. You'll notice King David is describing one of the gracious acts of God demonstrated to his children, verse 3. He says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." Little phrase that I want you to notice in this text in particular, which is again an attribute of God given toward his own, is that last a statement that describes God as, quote, "the lifter up of mine head." He says, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." A very powerful, meaningful description, I think, of what God has done and will do for his own children. Psalm chapter 110, that great prophecy of Christ, our high priest, going up to Calvary, it says that he shall drink of the brook in the way, and therefore shall he lift up the head. You say, "Pastor, what exactly does it mean that he's my glory and that he's my shield, the lifter up of mine head?" Well, all you have to do, I think, is sort of picture in your mind the face of a little child. A child's face and head is downcast. It is, for whatever reason, stooped in sadness or shame or surrender. Just down. And of course, usually the head, the arms and the shoulders, everything is down. But then, of course, along comes a mother or a father, and with the hand of wisdom and love and strength, they simply look at that one and they do this. They pick the head up. So that instead of looking down at the ground, at the earth, at the dirt, downward at earthly things and lowly things and things below, they are now looking, at least you would be looking, as God does that to you, into the eyes of omniscience and power and love. And so it is this morning that our Father, God our Father, our strength, our glory, our shield. The Bible says that he is the lifter up of our head. And may I say this morning that in a day, in an age when Satan and the forces of darkness are working overtime to keep the people of God downcast and defeated and dismayed, it would do us all very well indeed to be reminded of why God is the lifter up of your head. God does not want his children looking downward, staying downcast all of the time. So I truly hope you listen very carefully this morning. I want to speak on the subject, lifting your spirits. Lifting your spirits. Father, we need your word today. We thank you for blessing us, encouraging us already through the music and the fellowship of your people. Now, Father, we need to hear through the Holy Spirit the truth of God and these every word given by inspiration for our learning, our admonition. Please, Father, help us to open our hearts to that end. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. According to Ripley's Believe It or Not, there was once a young man in New York City many, many years ago. Back in the 1920s, he was walking down a sidewalk and he noticed on the ground a shiny little object that turned out to be a dime. Just 10 cents. He picked it up, he took it home, and according to the young man's relatives, something snapped that day, and the mind of that young man, because from that moment on, that fellow would always go for walks every day, long periods of the day, and he would never, ever take his eyes off of the ground. In other words, by finding one little dime while looking down as he walked, this man somehow in his mind decided that he would spend his entire life searching for whatever else he could ever find sitting on the ground before him. And Ripley said in his little book that when the man died, his house was filled with boxes and boxes and boxes of worthless stuff. Thousands of rusted needles and buttons and hundreds and thousands of bottle caps and broken pins and combs and nuts and bolts. Absolutely worthless junk like Ohio State Buckeye pins that you might put on, things like that. Kick them while they're down. Amen. That's what I believe. He even collected bones and teeth and rocks, anything on the ground that would ever catch his eye. And of course, as a man who was constantly looking down all of his life, he was therefore missing the greater things that existed in the world. That he never noticed the birds flying in the air, or the trees, or the hills, or the stars at night, and people's faces and eyes, their countenance, and the sun setting or rising on the horizon. All he saw is what you always see when you're just looking down. And you know, beloved, I read that story and I thought about so many Christians, how desperately Satan wants them to do spiritually what that man did physically, to look down, to be downcast, to hang our heads and to always look at things below where there's just dirt and death and dimes and dross. Spiritually speaking, Satan does not want you as a child of God. He doesn't want any of us to look up under the hills or under the heavens or under the stars. Satan only wants us to look at the place from which we came, the dust of the ground, never at the place to which we are all going. He wants our faces and our eyes always downcast. And you know, sometimes they are. Sometimes we are just compelled to hang our heads in the direction of our heavy hearts. But ladies and gentlemen, this morning I want to remind you that God is a shield for you, that He is your glory and He is the lifter up of your head. You say, Pastor, how so? Well, there are three things I want you to notice, actually four. I want to remind you that He's lifted up our head, number one, from dishonor unto distinction. Look at verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. Verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. You see, folks, can I just remind you of what God did when He saved you? The Bible says that He brought you up out of the miry clay. He set your feet upon a rock. He established your goings. He put a new song in your mouth, even praise unto our God. Let me ask you a question, Brother Terry. When you sing, what's the right technique? Are you supposed to sing with your head down or your head up? Your head up. Well, God put a song in your mouth, and He is the lifter up of your head. When God saved me, He took, through Christ, His nail-pierced hand, and He lifted my head up from shame, from sin, from guilt. And He lifted it up to forgiveness and to cleansing and honor and to being a child of the living God. That is distinction. He didn't lift it up in pride. He lifted it up in grace and in mercy and in goodness. He is my glory, so that all of God's people can say to Satan, no, I am not perfect, but I'm not hanging my head in shame because I am forgiven. I am a child of God. The Apostle Peter was a man who early in his life, it seemed, was always hanging his head in shame. Didn't it seem like he always said or did the wrong thing constantly? But never more so than when he cursed and swore that he was not a disciple of Christ and denied the Lord at the time when Christ needed him the most. Satan desired, Jesus said, to sift Peter as wheat, but the Lord Jesus came along. And you notice what he did, if you read the story very carefully in John, he basically took word after word after word, and he lifted up his head. The Lord Jesus was a lifter up of his head and finally said, Peter, go feed my lambs. And that man looked up and into the eyes of Jesus Christ, his shield, his glory, the lifter up of his head. And he would go on to preach at Pentecost and Babylon and Cornelius' household. His head was lifted from dishonor to distinction. This is what salvation does. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're here today and you are saved, do not look down always at this world and its woe. Don't hang your head in some past shame. You look unto the hills from whence cometh your help, and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21:28. From dishonor to distinction. The second thing I want you to notice is he's also the lifter up of mine head, number two, from despair to delight. Verse 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. If you'll notice the introduction to this psalm, you'll see these words, a psalm of David, when he fled from Absalom, his son. This is a parallel, 2 Samuel 15. I don't know if there's anything sadder that a father, that a man could endure than to be on the run for your life from your own son who has rebelled against the God that you love so much. This was David's time. This is the reason. You talk a man whose head was downcast. Why, David said, why so downcast, O my soul? You see, folks, sometimes people hang their head because of dishonor and guilt, but other times it's a matter of sorrow. It's just a matter of brokenness and sadness. And if that's the case, once again, God is the lifter up of your head. God comes along when others want you to hang it down. God comes along and says, look, look at me. Let me give you reason to have hope and courage and faith and boldness. A few days ago, as you know, we went up to see my mom and we were all sitting around her table. And as always, we were sitting there and she was reminiscing, telling stories. And she said, Jimmy, do you know who I heard from recently? And I said, who, Mom? And he said, your daddy's friend. Many years ago, Patrick Air Force Base. Remember Noel's father, a man named Flynn? I said, yeah, Mom, I remember him. And then she said, do you remember where he lived? Right behind that great big softball field. Then I knew where she was going. A story about me. And she told it. I was in the fifth grade. Everybody at Patrick was all excited at the time one night. The big softball final. And especially the championship game, all of these airmen showing off their fast pitch skills. And really, it was very serious business. But not to me, because Little League was very serious business to me. This was rather boring. But it was Friday night. I was there. Everybody was at the game. I went. And of course, eventually, I got bored. So I decided, let's do something exciting. And in those days, you know, the night lights in the ball fields were huge. And they took like 20 minutes. They would start off slow. And it took 20 minutes to finally illuminate the entire ballpark. I went over to my brother. But of course, that's why the switch is in a lockbox that nobody could get to. I should say the main switch, because my brother and I happen to know that there was another power switch way up in a light pole just outside of center field fence. So I said to my brother, I said, hey, Ricky, hey, give me a boost. Boost me up to the first step, and I'll climb all the way up, and I'll throw the lights. He said, no, you won't. I said, yeah, I will. He gave me a boost, and I started climbing, you know, and I got about their little steel rods and these wooden poles. And I got about to the seventh or eighth one, and I looked down. And there I could see my brother Rick running as fast as he could, but running backwards so he could watch me. Well, I thought, why stop now, right? So I kept climbing and climbing and climbing. And I got pretty high up. And to be quite frank, too high up. It looked like I was a mile high looking down, and I got scared. Just before I got to the switch, I saw a group of my teammates in Little League, classmates, and they were cheering me on. They were way over here in this section. They knew what I was up to. They got the attention of the fans that were all gathered there in the stadium, but not the players. So I waited and I waited and I waited until the pitcher got into his windup, and just as he let the ball go, whoom, I turned it off. pitch black darkness. You know something, folks? It's one thing being a mile up in bright lights, terrifying. It's doubly terrifying when you can't see anything. I was hugging the pole. I obviously didn't think this thing through very well. I froze. I was proud of myself, but I was paralyzed. And then I heard my buddies, a couple of them, screaming, "Jimmy, run! Run!" I thought, run? I'm not even on the earth. A couple seconds, I could see why. Because obviously attending the game were lots of airmen and APs who carried on their belts these flashlights. Remember the old flashlights had a 90-degree angle? And I could see them, about 20 of them, bouncing along, coming towards me very quick. So like a monkey, I shimmy down the thing and tried to hit terra firma before they reached me. And I was terrified. I wasn't really afraid of them. I was afraid of my dad and them finding out who I was and then bringing me to my dad. And when I reached the bottom, they were about 20 yards away. And you know what I knew? I knew at that moment there was no way they could catch me. In part because I ran through the base housing just about every night in total darkness. I knew the shortcuts. I knew the hiding places for reasons we'll not discuss, but I ran through the night all the time. I got home. They were nowhere in sight. My heart was pounding. And there was my brother with a smile. And there was my dad with a big scowl. And there was Noel's dad, Flynn, with a bigger scowl. And there was an airman in a softball uniform looking injured. I was later told he was the one that was hit by the pitch that was thrown into the dark. To me, that's a notch in the belt. You know, that was like double prizes. But I got to tell you, for me at that instant, at that moment, for a, you know, fifth grade boy, the thrill was gone. I got lectures. I got walloped. I guess the more accurate term would be I got beat. I was grounded forever. I got assignments. I got shamed. I got dirty looks. I got called names. In every way, I was as sad and afraid and lowly as a fifth grade boy could be, overly sorrow, and I was alone whimpering in my room, and my mom walked in. And she didn't say, "Jimmy, you're an idiot." That's what the air police said to me. She didn't say I was evil or irresponsible or that I was going to wish that I were dead. That's what my brother said to me. I literally thought of this story years ago, the first time I read this. She literally took my head and she lifted it up because I was looking down. And you know what she said? She looked at me in my tear-filled eyes and she said, "Jimmy, you're a fast runner." She said, "So why don't you run around the bases but not from the police?" You know what she did? She showed mercy. She was the lifter up of my head. She wasn't excusing. She wasn't recusing me. She knew when a boy was overly sorrowful. She also knew that Dad was the lifter up of my head as well, more like Pharaoh's baker, whose head was lifted off and the birds ate the flesh. So she knew that was coming. But so much like our Lord, she knew that there was a time when the head needed to be lifted up from despair to delight. You know, that's what God will do for you. I was listening to this humanist guest on C-SPAN some time ago, and she was talking about all the misery and the pain and all the angst in the world, and it was very depressing. You could tell that it was really more of a personal testimony than anything else, and at one point, she was taking phone calls, as they do on C-SPAN, and the caller said, "You know, lady, all I've heard is you bash America and bash this, and everything's bad, and this is bad." He said, "Is there anything that you're proud of? Are you proud to be an American or proud to be a certain faith or a certain religion? Are you proud of your family or your parents?" And here's what she said. She said, "Well, I'm proud to be human." I thought to myself, no wonder she's a grouch. I got to tell you, folks, first of all, she thinks that humans come from salamanders and then they go nowhere. So, I mean, proud to be human, I'd be sad too. In fact, I'd be downright depressed. I'd hang my head down if that's all that I had. And so should you. But don't you see, God is the lifter up of my head. He has given us purpose and belonging and hope and truth and wisdom. He's taken our eyes off of this earth and this ground, and he has shown us the heavens themselves. Chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." Thou, God has put it there. God is my glory. He's the lifter up of mine head from dishonor to distinction. I'm not much. I know that and you know that, but I am a child of the living God. He's lifted up my head from despair to delight. He's done it many times. There are many other times that he has come to do it, and I've allowed him not to because of my own pride or stubbornness. But God wants to be the lifter up of your head. Get your eyes off of the dirt of this world. Number three, notice he's lifted up our heads from defeat to dominion. It's not just sadness. Look at verse 6. "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." Man, I love that. You know, Vance Havner quoted this same verse. And he said that Satan is a toothless enemy. He's a lion with no teeth. But note this carefully. Because there was a time when our heads hung down because without strength, we were always and only defeated by the flesh. Paul says we were all of our lifetime subject to bondage. That means our entire life, all we were in bondage and being defeated. Being a loser makes you downcast. Look at the losing team in the closing seconds in the NCAA tournament, and you'll see them on the bench. What are they doing? They're not all excited. Their heads are down. They're losing. They're staring at their blue and gold jerseys that say Florida right across the front. I'm an equal opportunity basher of losers. Amen over there, Eric? Yes, I am. You look at the defeated players at the end of the Super Bowl. They're looking down. They're trying to locate a hole to crawl into. My brother played for a football team that went 0-16. They didn't hang their heads down at the end of the game. They had their heads hanging down when they walked out of the locker room on the field. Defeated before they even tossed the coin. You know what Paul says? Paul says, such were some of you. Such were all of us in this room. We were totally defeated. And our heads should have been hung down. We should have been exactly like that lady on C-SPAN. There is nothing. But no longer, beloved, because 2,000 years ago on a cross called Calvary, at Calvary. The Bible says in John 19:30, Jesus bowed his head. And he gave up the ghost. Think about that. God bowed his head in death. And in so doing, Satan bruised his heel. But in so doing, God crushed Satan's head on your behalf and mine. And up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes and your foes. You know, every time I preach at a funeral or a memorial service, if the person there in that casket was saved, as Brother Gale was, and if most of the people in attendance are saved, as it was the other day, without fail, I can see that throughout that gathering, that even in the midst of tear-stained eyes, you can see the Spirit of God moving from person to person, lifting up their head from defeat to dominion. I've preached at many, many funerals which this person was not saved, and most of the people were not. I preached one time at a huge Catholic church in Chicago, in Detroit, Michigan. This man was not saved. None of the people there that I knew were saved. I doubt it anywhere. I did not see the Holy Spirit of God moving in the midst of those people, lifting up their heads and giving them hope. We sorrow, but not as others who have no hope. And you know what, folks? What Paul argues in Corinthians is that if God has granted victory, even over death, if he is the lifter up of mine head with the last enemy, then you need not hang down your head in life. You are not a victim anymore. You are victorious through your Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you are saved, you know Christ is Savior. You don't have to surrender or succumb to the flesh or to the devil or to the world. God is your shield. He is your glory. He's a lifter up of your head. And in a few moments, when you walk out of these doors this morning, you need not, you ought not, hang your head down. And therefore, only see the shiny objects and the dirt and the dimes and the junk of this earth. Look up, he says. Look up, and the text says, see the salvation of the Lord. May I say very quickly, that highlights a final truth in all of this. I don't know if you noticed those two words in verse 5. It says, I awaked. I awaked. You know, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for God to lift up your head in the first place. May I say this? Listen to me carefully. It's not just about you. There are church services being conducted all over this area, all over this country. It's all about the person in the pew. Your felt needs. And how you feel when you leave. But I want to say that by the grace of God, always from this pulpit, whether I'm here or somebody else is here, always it should be, it's not about you, it's about Him. There is a reason why God has lifted up your head. It's not just so that you or I would feel good. We do have joy. And we are victorious. But the last truth is, He lifts up our head from disuse to direction. In other words, yes, you walk out of those doors in a few moments in joy and in victory and in distinction of being God's child. But you do so, beloved, with a mandate. You do so with a calling, a responsibility, and a duty to represent the gospel of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ, so that with real Christianity, it's not just how do you feel, it's also what are you doing. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit of God to help you be an instrument to lift up someone's head? Someone is downcast because they have no hope. They don't know Christ. God is the lifter up of their head, but He wants to help you use you to help lift up that person's head. Somebody is discouraged, distraught. Their heart is heavy and their head is as well. God wants you to be an instrument of being a lifter up of that person's head. God lifts up your head in part. He lifts it up. But He does it in part so that you can see His will for your life. So that when you leave, you're an instrument in God's hand. Our heads are bowed, please, and our eyes are closed for just a moment with no one moving. I wonder who'd say today, Pastor, you know what? I'm a Christian and I'm saved, but I needed this reminder today. Maybe a whole bunch of you here today, your head is hanging down because you're discouraged. Your shoulders are stooped. Your arms are heavy. God is the lifter up of your head. And God lifts up your head so that you'll see His will and His eyes, His countenance. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm saved today and I'm a Christian, but I needed a message. I need to be reminded that God doesn't want me to be discouraged permanently. That there is reason to have joy and victory and courage and boldness. And that God has a purpose for me when I leave this place. I have a calling. I'm an ambassador of Christ. Pastor, I'm saved, but I need the message with heads bowed. Who would say that with uplifted hands through the room? God bless you. God bless you. Most of you, yes. I raise my hand. Pastor, I'm here today and I want God to be the lifter up of my head because I have that dishonor. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. I don't know that. If you're here today and you don't know for sure that you're saved, that you're a child of God, we want to pray for you. I won't come and embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. When Jesus bowed His head at the cross and said, "It is finished," He was saying that His plan of redemption was finished. The price was paid. And he bowed His head so that He could lift your head and save you. But you have to trust in Him alone. Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved today, but I'd like to be sure. Would you pray for me? with heads bowed and eyes closed. Who would say that? I won't embarrass you. No one's coming to you. Raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you, folks. I see your hand. Anybody else? Just raise it real high. God bless you, ma'am. Anyone else? Several folks have raised their hand. How about you today? I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to be sure. Anybody like that? Anybody else? You want to raise your hand? Just hold it up there. All right. We're going to pray, and in just a moment have a time of invitation, as we always do here. And I encourage those of you who are saved, who raise your hand, if God is calling you to do so, here's the altar. It'd be a great thing for you to kneel at this altar and say, Lord, lift up my head, please. Help me to see you and your will and the stars and the heavens and the hills from whence cometh my help, and not the dimes and the junk of this earth. Help me to see that you have a will for my life. If you're not sure about your salvation, I encourage you to come forward. We will have someone take the scriptures and show you exactly how to be saved. It may be a public decision, joining, or baptism. Whatever God is speaking to you about, we sing in a moment and stand. I encourage you to obey his voice and come forward if that's so. Father, bless the invitation. We thank you for your goodness, the power of your word, and this dear servant named David, who was downcast, but who testified that you are the lifter up of his head. May we have the same testimony. We have that testimony, Lord, with salvation. May we continue to have it. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand together, shall we?